I met Brother Prabhakaran last year, I believe it was. This is Raj's father from India. Got to know him very well, and am blessed by and encouraged by his longevity in Christianity, in the Word. And I'm encouraged by what he knows and challenged by what he knows. And today I've asked him to come and speak to us. He came all the way from India, so we figured we'd put him to work. Brother, just come on and take the pulpit, and you got 55 minutes or better.
Good morning. It's nice to be in your midst. It's a joy for me to have fellowship with you on a Sunday, and I really enjoy this. I thank the Lord for granting me this opportunity to be in your midst and to share a few thoughts from His Word. I've chosen the first two chapters of the Bible, Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2. So we are going to study about the creation which God made. We are looking at it every day. We know what He has made. But when you look into the Word, we are going to see why He created everything. So we are going to look at two chapters. They are long. So it may not be possible to go through everything. So what I am going to do this morning is just to see a few things out of the two chapters which we can apply to our lives. Okay. The first thing I want to say is this. When you read the first two chapters, or in fact any other portion of the Bible, when you want to meditate and analyze it and to know what God is speaking to us, we need to put it in a order. I call it a chronological order. Okay. If you look at chapter 1, it talks about the creation. And you turn over to chapter 2, it again talks about the creation. Right? Now what we have to do is this. Pull out all the verses in chapter 2 and fit it in chapter 1. Right? But we don't have the time to do it today. You can do it. It's an exercise. You can do it at home. You'll find it. But I'm going to do only two parts. The beginning and the end. Right? So, if you have got your Bible, kindly turn over to Genesis chapter 1. Verse 1. In the beginning, God created heavens and the earth. It talks about a God. It talks about what He did. Okay? In the beginning. Let me ask you a question. Is there any other verse in the Bible which starts with "in the beginning"? John chapter 1 verse 1. Let's look at that verse. John's Gospel chapter 1 and verse 1, because it also talks the same thing. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So now we have got two verses, both talk about in the beginning. Now we have got to put them in the order. Which of the two verses you will put first, and which of the two verses you will put the second? Thank you, sister. John is first, but John talks about the existence of God. In the beginning was the Word. When God wanted to reveal Himself to us, how does He reveal? The Word. Later on, when you read in John's Gospel, you find it refers to Jesus Christ. Okay. So when we want to learn something about the Bible, when I hold my Bible, this side is Genesis, this side is Revelation. This is the beginning, this is the end. Now, we are going to do something. We are going to go beyond Genesis, looking this side. Way beyond this side, you see God. In the beginning was the Word. Now, we are going to look this side also. This is the end of the book, the Revelation. End of the world. Do you know what it means? Everything is gone. End of the world. and we are going to look beyond this side. When we see these two ends, then we can see what is inside this. You know one thing? There is no problem in this end. There was no problem in the beginning. The problem is here. You and me is the problem. So let's go now and look at Genesis. In the beginning was the Word, right? Then Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, in the beginning God created heaven and earth. For the verse in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, the Bible gives another name, laying the foundation of the world. You got it? Laying the foundation of the world. So when you go through the Bible, again you find the verse popping up, when God laid the foundation of the world. And some places it says, before he laid the foundation of the world. So if we are going to see the creation of God, we can't miss those things also. So you have a beginning, in the beginning was the Word, then comes a gap, then comes God created heaven and earth. What happened in between? Between John chapter 1 verse 1 and Genesis chapter 1 verse 1. What happened? Yes, the Bible talks about it. We are going to look into those things also. Right? So that is the beginning part of it. Let's now go to the end and see. The last verse, if you look at it, chapter 2 and verse 25. 24 and 25, I'll read two verses. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united with his wife, and they will become one flesh. The man and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame. It ends with verse 25. Now, if you look at chapter 1 and 2, what do you think should be the last verse of these two chapters? What do you think should be the last verse which ends the entire creation of God? If you go through both chapter 1 and 2, you know which should be the last verse? Look at chapter 2, verse 2 and 3. Chapter 2, verse 2 and 3. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. Wait a minute. The verse 25 in chapter 2 is sixth day. Verse 2 in chapter 2 is the seventh day. You see, that's what I said. You have to put the verses in the order first before you start looking at it. So the last verse is, by the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So the seventh day, God rested from his work. God created, God rested. That's how it ends. Do not disturb the rest of God. We'll see what it means. Let's go further and read. And God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because he rested from all the work of creating he has done. So we see, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. In the end of creation, we see God rested. Right? That is a part of the creation. Chapter 1 and chapter 2. Now we are going into the depth now. Both the chapters we'll combine together, we'll study. We cannot go through it one by one, but we'll just few points. We'll look at it and see how it can help us. Let's look at this. I said we have to look beyond the beginning. What was there? God and God alone. There is no need for God to create the heaven and earth. There's no need for God to create you and me. Unless this comes and sinks in our heart, you'll find very difficult to serve the God and even worship the God. We need to understand. He has picked up from the dust and made us human beings. That is God. We are nobody and we are nothing. He is everything. That's the beginning. Now come to the end. What do you find in the end? God with his children. You and me. Wait a minute. That makes a lot of difference. God is a spirit. God is eternal. So if you have to live with Him, He will make you eternal. He will make you a spiritual being. That is the end. The Bible talks about it. God had this in mind. When we realize the great purpose of God, we will look into the greatness of God. We can never understand the love of God. That's what Paul says. I can never fathom the great love God has shown to me. Right? So we have the two ends. The beginning is the Word. The end, God plus His people and plus the angels which obeyed Him. Keeping these two in mind, we'll go into Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2. Now, if you look at verse 1, in the beginning God created heaven and earth. Before that, before the foundation, before He laid the foundation of earth, what did God do? In chapter 1, it doesn't talk about angels. Have you noticed that? So when did God create angels? Job chapter 38. Job chapter 38. It talks something there. We have a glimpse of what had happened before. In Job chapter 38 and verse 4 to 7, God is asking Job, "Where were you when I laid earth's foundation?" is a question God asked Job. "Tell me if you understand." Verse 5, "Who marked off his dimensions? Surely you know. Who stretched a measuring line across it?" Verse 6, "On what were its footing set? Or who laid its cornerstone?" Now, look at verse 7. "While the morning stars sang together and all the angels shouted for joy." When God laid the foundation of the earth, Genesis chapter 1 verse 1, the angels shouted for joy. So the angels are created before God laid the foundation of the earth. Right? That's what it says. The Bible talks about it. Now if you go into the Bible again and look at various verses, we are not going to read it because we don't have time for that. You'll find God has created the whole range of angels. Now there is a difference the way God created angels and God created man. How many angels He created? You look at Revelation, it says millions and millions and billions. We don't know. Maybe billions or trillion, we don't know. The entire population of angels God created once and for all. Right? What about mankind? How many did He create? Just two. Not the entire population. Keep that in mind. We are going to look at that in Genesis chapter 1. Not the entire population. Just two. But then He gets millions and millions right there at the back. He says, "You will come and live with me. In my Father's house there are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. When I prepare, I will come back and take you so that you will live with me." That's what Jesus promised. Now, so we find that God has already created the angels. When you come to Isaiah chapter 14, it gives a glimpse of that. It talks about the fall of Lucifer, the son of the morning star. Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12 to 15, it talks about it. Something had happened. It gives only a glimpse. It doesn't give all the details, but we can know what would have happened at that time. So Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12 onwards. "How you have fallen from heaven, O morning star, son of dawn. You have been cast down to the earth, who once laid low the nations." Now, what was the reason for that? The morning star, probably, in all probability, it refers to Lucifer. We call it Satan today. It says, "You said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit enthroned on the mount of the assembly, on the utmost heights of the sacred mountain. I will ascend above the tops of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. I will make myself like the Most High. He wanted to be God. So he was cast down. You know the problem? Don't try to be a God. Man today wants to be God. I can do all things. I remember many people will come and tell me, "Brother, I don't need a God. I can do everything myself." Don't make yourself a God, because God will just drop you down. That's what he did. This all happened before Genesis chapter 1 verse 1. Now, God made a plan. When that has happened, the Bible talks about the angels, almost one-third they say that they rebelled against God, and so he made a plan, he created man. That is the one we read in Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2. God had an eternal purpose and plan for creating mankind. Okay. Now, it talks about what he had in his mind, his plan, before he laid the foundation of the world. Shall we turn to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25? Jesus tells about that. Matthew, chapter 25. Referring to his return, the coming back, the second coming, when he is going to meet the people, Jesus says in verse 34, Matthew 25:34, "The king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world.'" That is your inheritance. God had planned a kingdom before Genesis chapter 1 verse 1. And that kingdom, he says, I will give to man. Ever thought of that? Turn to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2, there also it talks about it, about man. And when the word became flesh, he dwelt among us. That's what we read in John's Gospel chapter 1 verse 14. So Jesus became a man. He lived on the earth. He died, he was buried, and he rose again. Now look at Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 5. "It is not to the angels that he has subjected the world to come." The world to come is not subject to the angels about which we are speaking. In other words, if you keep on reading chapter 2, you'll find he uses man for that. God has a great purpose in creating mankind on the earth. And we need to understand it as we go through the process of creation in Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 4. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 4. It talks about us, individuals. Well, Paul is writing the epistle to the Ephesians, he says, verse 4, "For he chose us in him." He refers to God, in him refers to Jesus Christ. So if you read like that, "For God chose us in Jesus before the creation of the world." So what did God do? Before Genesis chapter 1 verse 1, it made a list. Grace Chapel, HOMA, 2014. Write the names. All the names. Your name is written there. He chose you before he laid the foundation of the earth. That is God. Keep that in mind. Don't ever forget it. For what did he choose? To be holy and blameless. He did it before he laid the foundation. Before he did it, Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. So we need to understand, as we go through the creation narrative, we need to understand why God created us. What for I am living on the earth? God has an eternal purpose for us. It is beyond our comprehension. And we need to rise up to the occasion to fulfill it. Now let's look at God Himself as a creator. God can create something out of nothing. Man can create something out of something. You remove everything in the world, every substance in the world, you and I can do nothing. Physics, chemistry, zoology, biology, all will be gone. Mathematics also we can't have. Have you ever thought of that? Because we have something, we have all the sciences, we can do a lot of things, we can fly, we can swim, we can go on boats, we can do a lot of things. Because God has given us something. But God can create something out of nothing. Man cannot create something out of nothing. We need something to create something. That is the difference. Let's not forget the difference between God and man. So He is a creator. If you find there are 6 days, He creates a lot of things. And we have no time to go into the details. They are wonderful things. What is the first thing He created? Have you ever thought of it? The first thing God created? And God said, let there be light. Now that itself is a mind-boggling thing. God created light. Isn't it? And those of you who study physics and science, you'll know that. And Einstein also said that, you know, the theory of relativity, he talks about it. Everything is relative except light. It's mind-boggling. And when you look at the Bible, it says God created light first. Anyway, we won't go into the details. It's a very interesting subject to look at it. Second day, He separates the sky and the earth. Third day, He brings out land, sea and vegetation. Fourth day, the sun, moon and the stars. The fourth day is the time when He brings the source of light. Sun and moon and the stars. And it's the fourth day He brings the time. God lives in eternity. Okay. Now we find it very difficult to understand the concept of eternity. But when you go to the science and start studying the science, you know, then you find that you are coming close to eternity. Have you ever thought we are flying? We are flying in the aeroplane. We fly fast, you know. The speed increases. When I first flew to London, it took me a long time. Almost, I think, the time it takes to reach US now. Now the London is half the time from India. So we are going faster. If you travel at the speed of light, the watch will stop. You know that? Yes. Your body clock will stop. There are a lot of novels, stories written. Shangri-La, they've written so many stories where you never grow old and based on that theory. Ever thought of that? We go into eternity. There's no time. There's no space. God lives in eternity. He created time in verse 14. When He created the sun, moon, the light. Let's read that. And God said, I'm reading verse 14. Let there be lights in the expanse of the sky to separate the day from night. And let them serve as signs to mark seasons, days and years. He created the time so that we now work and live in a frame of space and time. Right. That is on the fourth day. Fifth day, fish and birds. Sixth day, all the living creatures, animals and creeping things. He did it. And the last creation is man and woman. I always wonder why last. I always tell this to everybody. Let's think, why did He create man as the last? Don't you think He should have done first? I would have loved God had done me first. Come on, you come. Give me some idea how to create second day, third day. I would have given Him, I've taken a piece of paper. Come on, do this way, that way. Don't do this. Do this way. This will be better off. I would have told Him that. God didn't do that. He didn't give me any chance. No chance. He created everything, then said, you come. God creates everything that you need first. Then you brings you into the world. That is true even today. When I was born in the world, there was a school where I could go and study. There was a college where I can go and study. There were companies and factories wherever can go and work. Everything already there. I didn't have to go and create a school. It was there. God provides everything for you before He brings you into the world. Don't ever forget that. He is our God. He is our God. He has done it. That's the reason He came to the world. He suffered for us, died for us, rose again for us. He has done it. That is God. So He brings man the last. The man is the crowning example of His creation. Why He brought man? For the world to come, man will rule. To him that overcomes, I will grant him to sit with me in my throne. He didn't tell that to the angels. He tells to you and to me. Don't ever forget it. Don't forget that. We have been created by God for a higher purpose. Look at that higher purpose and you walk on the earth towards that purpose. So we find God as the creator. He made all the provisions for us. Nothing wanting. That's why in one place He says, before you call, I will answer you. What did Jesus say? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Matthew chapter 6 verse 33. All that He says is, seek ye first His kingdom and His righteousness. Rest of the things in your world, your house, your car, whatever you need is added to you. God will do it. And Bible is a book which you can experiment, you know that? And the world is a laboratory. I always do that. I look at the verse, wow, wait a minute, let me try it out. It works. It really works. And you can try it out. And our life is much better off when we do that. Because God is real. He is very real. So the first thing we find that He is the creator of this. Now let's come. So I've done this. Day 6 we have come. We'll go to the end of the day 6. Genesis chapter 1. Verse 26. Then God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness. You are made in the image of God. Keep that in mind. Very important. In the image of God. In the likeness of God. What does it mean? Image. Right? Image of God. When you live on the earth, when people see you, you should look like God. I remember way back, this is some almost 40 or 50 years back. I was very young, in my 20s, maybe 24, 25. They called me to speak in a youth camp in India. I went there, it's a long way off. I went there, spoke there. There was a man in whose house I stayed. He was a pastor of the church. He had two daughters, two little girls. I saw them. Right? After that, almost 25 years have passed. More than 25 years passed. I went to another place. Now, 25 years have already passed. Or 30 years, probably. I went to another place and I was again called to preach in a youth camp. As I was standing outside near the gate, I saw a lady walking and coming with a small child, holding the child's hand. I scratched my head. I've seen her somewhere. The way she walks is very familiar. Where did I see her? I couldn't make out. She came very close to me. I wished her and said, look, I want to ask you a question. I don't know whether I've seen you before or not. But as I look at you, the way you walked, I am reminded of my friend in whose house I went and stayed almost 30 years back. His name is such and such. Do you know him anyway? She laughed. She laughed and laughed. I am his daughter. I am his daughter. She was a little girl, grown up, just like the dad. Just like the dad. God created you in His image. so that when people see you, you should reflect the image of God. Now what does it mean? The image means the very qualities of God. The divine nature, the Bible says in the New Testament. Peter writes that in 2 Peter. We are here to express that. Right? When sin came in chapter 3, we find that we lost that. Jesus came, died for us, rose again for us. He brought back that. That is what he has given to us. That is the image of God. We should always keep that in mind. Shall we turn to Romans chapter 8? Yeah, Paul is talking about, again, the image of God in us. What does he say? Romans chapter 8. We'll read verse 29. For those God foreknew. Look at the sentence it says. He foreknew. Before the foundation of the earth, he has known you. For those whom God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers in the likeness of his Son Jesus Christ. So Paul says we all should look like Jesus Christ. One family, the family of God. So God has created man in his image so that we can belong to his family. That is what he has done. Let's turn back to Genesis chapter 1. That is why we read in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4, he has decided each one of our names, and so that we can be holy and blameless. He said, this brother, this man, this woman, this sister. Like that he has collected people so that we can be holy and blameless, reflecting the very image of God. Okay. Now, how did God create man? Turn to chapter 2, verse 7. God formed man from the dust of the ground. God formed man from the dust of the ground. So, if you take the chemical analysis of our body, it is same as what the earth is made of. We are nowhere different. Okay? Exactly the same. Science has proved it. Nothing to worry about. So God, this verse is correct. God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. He breathed his spirit into the nostrils. And man became a living soul. So God has given us his spirit. So what do we have as a man? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 23. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 23. That talks about how God created us. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, your soul, and your body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Spirit, soul, and body. Three things. That's how God made us, human beings. So he created man on this earth. Okay. Now, when we talk about spirit, God's spirit was dwelling in us. And Christ died us to quicken our spirit. Let's not forget that. So that we can live in the spirit. When you come to the New Testament, he talks about it. But we'll restrict ourselves to Genesis chapter 1 now. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 1. He said in verse 26, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, birds of the earth, over the livestock, over all the earth, over all the creatures that move along the ground. So what did God want us to do? To rule over his creation on the earth. That's why he created us, right? If you go further, after creating mankind, what did he tell them? Verse 28, God blessed them, the man and woman. He's talking about that in chapter 1. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful, increase in number, fill the earth, subdue it. rule over the fish of the sea, birds of the air, over every living creature that moves on the ground. God created earth and he said, you go and fill the earth and you subdue it and you occupy it, take control of it. What does it mean? Remember when Jesus lived on the earth? Before he started the ministry, we went on fasting and Satan comes to him. You remember that? Three tests he goes through. In one place, Satan takes him and shows the entire world. And what did he say? All the kingdoms are under my control. Who created the earth? Jesus Christ. Did Jesus say, tell Satan, no, you are telling something wrong? No, he didn't say that. He accepted the fact that they were under his control. Now, what is God telling us? Go and capture and subdue it. What did Jesus say when he rose again? All power and authority is given to me. Therefore you go. What is a great commission? He didn't say, I died and given you a great salvation. Go and tell the salvation. He didn't say that. I have full authority. Matthew's Gospel chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. Read that verse. So beautifully Jesus says that. Same. It's similar to what God told Adam and Eve. Verse 18, Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore you go. You go because I have authority. And God told Adam and Eve, you go because I have created you. I have all authority. Go and do what? Look at this. Make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded. We are here to get back this entire world from the evil powers back to God. That is why God has left us on the earth. We are here to conquer. To him that overcomes, I will grant him to sit with me in my throne. Jesus said that. And Paul says in Ephesians, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. He talks about a warfare. The New Testament talks about the warfare. God has created us for that. God had a great purpose for mankind. And we can't look at other things and lose our vision. The vision is this. The world to come. The kingdom of God. That is the vision. We are passing through this world. So back to Genesis chapter 1. God blessed them and said, go and occupy the entire earth. It didn't happen. We know what has happened later on. So we find that. Now, having said that, how did God establish the supremacy of man over the entire creation? You know how he did it? Let's turn to chapter 2. Verse 19. Now God had formed out of the ground all the beasts of the field, all the birds of the air. He brought them to the man to see what he would name them. How does he establish a supremacy? He calls all the birds, animals, come over here, elephants, whatever it is there, big giraffes, come over here. The man will give you the name. What does it mean? The animals know that man is in command. Now, I've been around this, your country, USA, California and Florida. They tell, they have this, the trainers of whales, you know, big whales. They train and say that they will do all these things. I went to California. They make the vultures do what they want. They make the bats do what they want. They make the eagle do what they want. I remember this young girl came and put an eagle there. He said, the big eagle, it flies there, but it listen to what we tell. An eagle will listen to what a man says. She said that. We couldn't believe. We were all seated there. All of you be seated there. Don't move, she said. She looked at the eagle. Now, you fly over the head. Don't touch them. Eagle starts off. Flutters over everybody's head and comes and sits back. Because God created the animal and told them that man is in control. So that's the first thing he said. You name them. How do you name them? You use your mouth. In the beginning was the word. Communication. God has given man the communication to rule over the entire creation. Now you have pet dogs. How do you call them? call them by name, na? Come over here. You tell them, they come running, all the animals. You use the words, the communication. So that's one thing we need to learn. Very important. Very important. When the powers of darkness, when Satan came to Jesus, how did he tempt? With communication. Quoting the verse in the Bible. When he came to him, what did he say? Did God tell you this? He talks to you. So learn to listen, learn to communicate. This is exactly what God has given. That is why in John he says, in the beginning was the Word. So man has got a tool to rule. So we need to go through that. So when as you read the Bible, you find God tells Moses, Moses, come on, write down all these things. So oral communication, written communication, these are very important. And God has given his book in our hands. What do you do with this book? Read, meditate, and it's going to make a lot of difference in your life. So that's why he has given the printed book in writing to all of us. We have it in our hands today, and we can read it. We don't need to do that. When Jesus was living, he didn't have a Bible, you know that? When Jesus lived, he didn't have a Bible. He had to go to the synagogue. And the entire Bible was not there. He will take a scroll. And he has to go to another synagogue to get another scroll. And you and I are privileged today to have this word. So God, when he showed to Adam, now, Adam, this is how you have got to dominate, you have got to control. We need to learn to this communication. He started in the first beginning itself, in the first two chapters of Genesis. God creates everything. God creates mankind. God gives him a language. Right? Let's go further on this. And the job he gave Adam is, do you think it's an easy job or a tough job, giving names to animals? Ever thought about it? How many animals you can name? Can you tell me? Hardly 6, 7, 10? Can you name all the animals? When you name, what happens? You name it, you have to remember what name you gave. You can't repeat the name. So your memory comes into action. Right? So, when you go to school or college, don't get a lot of students say, Uncle, I don't want to keep studying there. You know, I find back in my country, the people come, no, I don't want to write the exam. They feel very, very uncomfortable to write exams, uncomfortable to sit in a class and study. But then, God has put it, God has given us a memory and made us do all those things. We have to develop these things. It is there, right in the second chapter. He said, name all the animals, and God and Adam named it. He says that. Look at this verse. He says, so, verse 20, so the man gave names to all the livestock, the birds of the air, beasts of the field. Wow. Great. I don't know how Adam did it. Wonderful job. Wonderful. Now, we keep going now. We are coming to the last part of it. In chapter 2, the same creation part of is there. God created man is... Okay, we'll read one verse in chapter 1 and then go to chapter 2, verse 27. Chapter 1, verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Got it? So he creates a man, he creates a woman. What did he call the man? What's the name he gave him? Adam. What did he call the woman? Adam, not Eve. The name he was given by man. I'll tell you, a little later we'll see how. Genesis chapter 5, verse 2. God created them, male and female, blessed them, and when they were created, he called them Adam. One name to both. You know, when Eve plucked the fruit and God cursed Adam, Adam was so angry, he looked at Eve and said, don't call yourself Adam, your name is Eve. That's the time man got angry with her. So he gave her a different name. Don't take my name. Don't spoil my name. That's what Adam said. Nah, we also say that, isn't it? Father's Day, remember that. Don't say that to your wife. Many times I get angry sometimes with my wife. Oh, we blow up. So we have to cool down. All men, all husbands, we need to understand that. Adam got angry and gave her a name, Eve. Otherwise, God gave one name. That is why even today, their family name goes. Have you noticed that? Mr. and Mrs., the same name. God did that. He made them, he sees them as one entity, because there's a great purpose in that. Very important. We need to understand that. Now, chapter 2, verse 24. For this reason, a man will leave his father. What reason? For this reason, he says. Because he was taken from the bone of Adam. That's what he says in verse 23. This is now bone of my bones and my flesh. For this reason, man will leave his father and mother, be united to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. That is the purpose of marriage. So, when God created man and a woman, put them together. As somebody I was listening years back, he said, that is a family, he said. A family is when man and woman become husband and wife, family starts. And Paul picks it up and brings it out so beautifully in Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 31. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother, be united to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Verse 32. This is a profound mystery. Now, the reason God did that in Garden of Eden is for the kingdom which is creating. God had the end in his mind when he was doing the creation. So Paul now understood. He says, this is a profound mystery, but I am talking about Christ and the church. Wait a minute. What is he talking about, the Christ and the church? Christ is the head, church is the body. Ever thought of that? God has gone to the extent of calling us, you are part of my body. The highest level is lifting you up. Don't ever forget it. Christ is the head, you are the body. Now, how did Paul realize that? You know when he realized? He was going to Damascus. He was Saul. He wanted to get all the Christians and put them in the prison. And Jesus meets him. And Jesus says, why are you kicking against the thorns? He says, who are you, my Lord? And Jesus says, you are hurting me. Paul says, I'm not hurting you. I'm capturing the Christians. No, you are hurting me. Then when Paul thought about that, wait a minute. The church is the body of Christ. In order to understand that, he created the family, husband and wife. Got it? No. So, in the family, we realize the way the church operates. I call it my family. I got my two children. I got my grandchildren. My family. God says, my family. Where all of us are involved. That is why he created you. God has his kingdom in his mind. When at the end of the everything, he says, the heaven and earth will go away. I'll create new heavens. And you will be with me. That is why he created mankind on the earth. For no other purpose. One purpose. So we need to understand what God has been doing for us. Having done that, what did God do? The last one. Genesis chapter 2 verse 2. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he has been doing. And he saw Adam and Eve. He saw all the creation. And God rested from his work. Now what does it mean? What you have, when do you rest? What you have in mind, your desire, the eternal purpose of God was fulfilled when the last thing he finished. Adam, Eve, husband and wife. It's over, God said. You are see rested. But that rest was again troubled a little bit. God is looking for a rest. God is looking for a rest. Therefore he created everything. Therefore he created Adam and Eve. He completed the creation. He said, I rest now. But when he comes to chapter 3, he was disturbed. That rest was disturbed. Shall we turn to Isaiah chapter 66? Isaiah chapter 66. Verse 1. This is what the Lord says. Heaven is my throne, earth is my footstool. Where is the house you will build for me? Where is my resting place? God is asking the question to us now. Where is my resting place? From Genesis chapter 3 onwards, he lost the rest. Chapter 2, he came to the end and said, I am resting. Don't disturb God's rest. That's what I'll say. We are responsible for it. That is a message we get from creation. We are here to bring rest to God. We are here to bring rest to God. Let's read further. Isaiah chapter 66. Verse 2. Has not my hand made all these things? And so they came into being, declares the Lord. This is the one I esteem. He who is humble, contrite in spirit, trembles at my word. Three things. At the end of creation, God looks for three things in mankind. At the end of creation, God looks for three things in you and me. First, humility. What is humbleness? To accept there is a God. To accept there is a God. Years back, I was talking about this. I was preaching the gospel in India to the students, college students. At the end of the meeting, one young girl studying in the college walked up straight, came and said, Uncle, your message was very nice. You were talking about a king who should come into the heart. I was talking about Jesus Christ, who died for us. Take him into the heart. He'll be the king in your life. You should take him as a king and a lord and all these things I was talking. She came and said, Uncle, your message was very good, but I have a problem. I said, what's your problem? There's already a queen in my heart. There's no place for a king, she said. That is the problem with you and me. That's the problem with you and me. Paul said, although I live, I don't live. I die. Christ lives in me. That's the message he said. So that is humility. Contrite spirit. What is contrite spirit? You feel bad. You feel very much restless when you go against your creator, the God, living God. Don't quench that spirit. Don't pour water on that spirit. That is needed. God says you must be humble, you must be contrite. Third thing, tremble at my word. Are you willing to do that? That is the purpose of creation. God has given us his word. He said it. And he has taken pains to put people to write the word and put people to translate the word from Hebrew and Greek and given it in our language, English. Tremble at my word. He is God. He has created it. And all that thing he has said is coming to pass. We have studied only two chapters of Genesis. It doesn't give the complete picture of what the Bible says. But it gives a lot of ideas about why we are here. We are here for the eternal purpose of God. His purpose is his kingdom. Daniel looked at Nebuchadnezzar, the king, and said, oh, King Nebuchadnezzar, in the days of the last kings. You remember that big statue he was talking about? In the days of the last kings, God will establish his kingdom. We are in the days of the last kings. Take the Bible, read the Bible, you can interpret what is happening in the world. We are talking about many things, problems in Middle East, problems here, economic bubble bursting, everything we talk. Bible has already told about that. What is the new thing about it? God has already told. It will happen and it is happening. Jesus said, look at the sky and you must be able to discern the signs of the times. He said, I'll come back. He will come back. Even as we study the chapter 1 and 2 of Genesis, let us remember this. God is in control. He will establish his kingdom. He has created you and me for one purpose. He has decided you and me, our names, before he laid the foundation of the earth, so that we shall be holy and blameless. We shall be humble and contrite. Tremble at his word. That on the day when he comes, he will look at us and say, well done, my son. Well done, my daughter. He wants people to rule with him in the world to come, and he has chosen you. What is your response? That's what Genesis 1 and 2 says. Shall we think about it and respond to that God appropriately? May the Lord bless us.
Right, that's very good. That's as we go through the Bible chapter by chapter, verse by verse, a lot of times we get lost in the minute details. They're important. Application of the Bible is very important. But we can never forget the framework that it all sits in. And we should never forget the eternal purpose that God has for us. Because that's what it all leads to. It's that eternal purpose that we are working towards. Too often we get busy with life. And the life that surrounds us clouds our vision. We can't see the forest for the trees. But we can never forget that God has a purpose, and that purpose was established before the foundation of the world. And it's our responsibility to seek that purpose, to live in that purpose, to bring Him rest. Because when we bring Him rest, He will bring us to our rest. Amen. Let's stand. I appreciate that, Brother Prabhakaran. Very good, very good. Next week we'll be back in Joshua, and want to just once again tell all the fathers Happy Father's Day, and let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank You for this time. We thank You for this lesson, Lord. We pray that the word that was spoken today, the word that You have communicated to our hearts this morning, Lord, that it would sink down into our hearts. Lord, that we would dwell on it, we would meditate on it, and we would, Lord, make it part of our lives. Help us to always wake up every morning and remember that You have a plan for us, that You are working Your purposes in our lives. Lord, and when circumstances surround us and the difficulties arise, Lord, help us to remember that You're in control, that You are framing us, You are shaping us into the image of Your Son. Well, we don't start out that way. But it's Your intention that we end up that way, looking like Jesus. And Lord, I pray that You would help us to reflect Him more and more every day. That when people see us, Lord, they would recognize that we have been with Jesus. And so, Lord, thank You for bringing us together today. We pray that You bless all the fathers, Lord, today, and bring us back again safely next week. We ask all these things in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen.